Hi, I'm Edward Sree, and welcome to All Things Catholic, where real faith meets real life.
Do you ever feel like God is not listening? You know, you show up for prayer, you're trying to cry out to God, but you wonder if he's really there. Does he really hear me? I don't feel close to God. If you've ever had these experiences in your spiritual life, know you're in great company, because so many of the saints have gone through these periods of dryness and darkness, including the great saint the church is getting ready to celebrate this upcoming week. And I'm so excited. I want to tell you about this saint because she offers us tremendous wisdom about those moments of difficulty, what is really happening, that God is doing something beautiful in our souls when we face those dryness times in prayer, those desert times in prayer, that God is actually doing something deep in our souls, even though we may not realize it, we may not feel it. She also offers us good wisdom on what to do, how to respond and cooperate with God in those periods when I sense he's so far away from me right now. Who's the great saint I'm talking about? It's not just any saint. She's a great doctor of the church. So she's held up as a tremendous spiritual guide for our lives. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about the great Saint Catherine of Siena, the medieval mystic. And welcome to All Things Catholic. I'm your host, Edward Sree. So excited to get into the saint. No, she's really one of my favorite saints, I have to tell you. And it wasn't always this way. I was aware of her growing up, but it was really in my doctoral studies. During my doctoral program, which was not in spiritual theology, it was actually in scripture and in dogmatic theology, that's what I concentrated on. But I took some classes in Catholic spiritual theology, and there was a wonderful Dominican priest there, Father Paul Murray, that opened up the treasure of St. Catherine of Siena and her writings for me. And that's why I was so excited when we filmed the When You Pray study. We got to film at the sites of many saints, but I was so excited to get to go to Siena, this beautiful medieval city, and we got to film right at the Gothic cathedral that's there. So that was spectacular. And we got to film at San Domenico, the Church of St. Dominic, which was her parish church. This is where Catherine of Siena learned to pray. This is where she spent countless hours in prayer, where she went to Mass. This is where the relic of her head is, so you can venerate her relics there. It's incredible. But my favorite part of our filming for the study was when we got to go to her house, the house of St. Catherine, and we got to see where she grew up and then descend to her cell, her little room, this tiny room where she lived for 3 years in quiet, in prayer, with mystical dialogues with God. For 3 years of almost unbroken silence, she was in this little cell, and she had these mystical dialogues with God. And those dialogues were put in writing. And that's the treasure that's been left us in the church. And I'm going to share from that wisdom here, from those words God spoke to Catherine over the course of those 3 years, about the life of prayer and why we experience these struggles sometimes. You know, as I mentioned, prayer can be hard. And sometimes we wonder why, you know, God wants us to pray and I desire to pray. How come it's so difficult sometimes? This should be a lot easier. But I want to encourage us, you know, because we could feel really sad and feel defeated, feel like a failure in prayer sometimes when it's not going well. We could feel like we're doing something wrong. We didn't follow the right technique. We're not trying hard enough. That's why prayer isn't going well. We could think maybe we're just bad Christians, you know? And Catherine's just so human and so beautiful in her writings. She actually tells us that, okay, while it's true, you know, if you have some serious sin in your life, that could be why prayer is hard, because you haven't brought it to confession, you know, so you need to acknowledge that. But many times they're just good, devout people that love the Lord and they're really trying to pray, but their prayer life isn't going well. And Catherine tells us that we can interpret that from a human perspective, saying, oh, that must mean I'm doing something wrong. You know, I'm not praying well. I'm not, I need to get a better book for prayer. I'll solve it with some, you know, technique. I'll use the right method, you know, and we fail to see that God may be doing something deeper in our soul, actually, in those moments. You see, Catherine, when she wrote a letter once giving spiritual counsel to someone, she described how prayer, I love her definition of prayer, that the prayer is the meeting of two desires. It's the meeting, the encounter of two desires, our desire for God and God's desire for us. And she so beautifully explains that, you know, God loves us so much. He desires us. He desires our attention. He desires our love, our time. And he loves us so much, he put in our souls a desire for him. So there's this desire we have. It's an infinite desire that only God can fill. And prayer is the meeting of those two desires, God desiring our soul and then the desire he put in our hearts for him. It's that encounter. The problem is that because we're fallen, too often we're seeking the fulfillment of our desires and all these other things and activities and the joys and the comforts and pleasures and honors of this world. But the deepest desire is on our soul for God. It's an infinite desire, she says. We have an infinite desire that only the infinite one can fulfill. And so why do we experience trouble in prayer? It could be because God is testing us. He's testing our hearts to see, are we in touch with the deepest desires on our soul, which are for him, not for consolation, not for feelings, not for a feeling of God's closeness, not for a certain insight, feeling like we're doing a good job in prayer. You know, God blesses us with those things, but those come and go. It's kind of like marriage. You know, think about this. You know, I am so blessed, my friends. I have been married almost 25 years. Beth and I are getting ready to celebrate our 25th anniversary this summer. It's been a great delight, a great joy. And I really have fallen deeper and deeper in love with her as the years have gone on. But I don't want to make it sound like it's been 25 years of, you know, nonstop bliss. There have been many moments of sorrow, difficulty, hurt, disappointment, working through challenges in our relationship or challenges in the family life or challenges in the community or whatever. There's so many things that happen in life. You know, marriage, if you want to test what real love is, John Paul II says, if you want to test love in a dating relationship or test love in a marriage, you don't turn to the feelings to test it. Is this really love? How much sexual attraction do they have for each other? How much romantic feeling do they have for each other? You know, that's not the place to go. Those things come and go. JP2 explains in a romantic relationship, of dating or marriage, the real test is what happens when things are difficult, when things get really hard and there's not those feelings. What happens when maybe you don't feel close to your spouse, when you feel misunderstood, when you feel like you're not heard? What do you do in those moments? That's the test of love. You want to really measure someone's love. How do you respond in those moments? And you have to be faithful and work through, because real love is not about the emotions and the feelings. Those come and go. It's awesome when you go on date night, you rekindle, you know, the relationship, and you really feel like you're connecting together. That's great. And God blesses us in those moments. But when a baby's waking up at 3 a.m, you have to get up and serve the baby. Or when there's tension and misunderstanding and someone's hurt, you got to work through that. That's love. Love resides in the will, not in the intellect, not in our emotions, not in our passions. It resides in the will. Do I make the act of the will to show up, to be there, to serve? I think too often we Catholics, I'm gonna talk about this in other shows. But I think too often we Catholics, we have a very sentimental view of the spiritual life. We think like, okay, if I feel humble, oh, I feel really humble and feel like I really need you, Lord. Like that makes me a humble person. I think like I feel holy, so that makes me holy. Or I feel close to God in prayer, so that must mean I'm close to him in prayer. But it's very important that we remember that the feelings, the emotions, just like in a marriage, those can come and go. The real test of is how do I act? What do I actually do? What are the choices that I actually make? So it's one thing to come away, you know, in a time in prayer and a retreat. Oh, I feel so humble, Lord, I need you. And I'm just so dependent on you. But then, you know, it could be a couple hours later, there's some big problem at work or some problem at home. And is my instinct to turn to the Lord, Lord, I just need you. You know, I just need help. Or am I quick to be angry or quick to be frustrated or quick to be discouraged? You know, that's the real, like, if I'm really humble in those moments, it's not about, did I feel humble in the chapel that morning? It's in the moment of difficulty, did I turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your help. Boy, I'm dependent on you right now. I can't solve this on my own. I'm weak, Lord. I need you. That's the test of humility. Not did I feel humble when I prayed in the morning. Same thing, you know, do I feel holy? No. Do I perform acts of charity? That's the question. Do I perform acts of charity? Do I forgive when a part of me doesn't want to forgive? Do I allow Christ to radiate through me his love? Do I sacrifice for others? Do I make choices to serve those in need and put aside my own preferences? Do I consistently make acts of charity in my life? That's a sign of holiness, not how did I feel in my holy hour. And if I want to know, am I really close to God? It's not about, do I feel close to him at prayer? Again, I want to be clear, those feelings of humility or feelings of holiness or feelings of closeness, God may shower us with those things, but that's not the essence of holiness. It's not the essence of humility. It's not the essence of closeness with God. And if I want to know, am I really holy? Am I really close to the Lord? It's in the will. Did I make the act of the will to show up for prayer? Was I there for God? Did I choose to be in his presence? Did I choose to not live on the outside of my life focused on just all the activity and the tasks and the projects and responsibilities? Did I actually turn to take time out of my busy day to acknowledge, Lord, I need you, so I'm going to spend time in prayer. And I know that if I'm in your presence, it changes me. It does something for me. Just taking time to be, whether it could be in a chapel in his Eucharistic presence or just his presence, his spirit dwelling in my soul, and I'm living more interiorly. Do I really believe that taking that time does something for me? It makes me a better Christian, makes me a better husband, it makes me a better dad, a better friend. Am I convinced of that? You know, that's a choice I'm making. And that's the test of love. So Catherine of Siena explains, God sometimes withdraws his closeness. He withdraws the feelings, the consolations in prayer, because he's testing us to see, will we still come? Are we coming just for what we get out of it? Or are we coming? Are we coming for him and for him alone? Because remember, what are we made for? We're made for God. That's what Catherine reminds us. We have infinite desires that are for God. No consolation in prayer, no feeling in prayer is going to totally fulfill us. And sometimes we can be too attached in our spiritual life to the feelings, just like a young couple could be too attached to the emotions and the feelings of their romance and their marriage, and then panic when, oh, the feelings aren't there anymore. Well, how come we don't have all those feelings anymore? Why is it so hard? a couple may panic in those moments, and we as spiritual Christian disciples can panic in our spiritual life. When those feelings aren't there anymore, oh no, what's happening? Am I doing something wrong? Is God abandoning me? What's happening? And yet, Catherine reminds us, we're not made for consolation. We're not made for the spiritual joys and delights. Those come and go, and we rejoice when God blesses us with them. But that's not the essence of our relationship with him. So God may be withdrawing the feelings of his closeness so that we get in closer touch with the deepest desires on our hearts, which are not for spiritual delight, but for God himself. So just as God purifies a husband and wife over time and takes that initial love, which is full of romantic feelings and emotion and sexual attraction, and those aren't bad, and those still will be there as marriage goes forth, but he deepens it through the difficulties and trials of married life. He deepens their love so they become more united and committed to each other for who they are. God is doing something similar. He's our bridegroom, and he's wooing us and drawing us close to him initially in prayer. And he gives us lots of delights, especially at the beginning of our spiritual life, so we begin developing the habits and the practice of prayer. But then he may withdraw those feelings because he wants our love to be perfected. This is the point God spoke to Catherine. He said that he can tell that there are many disciples, many Christians that will begin to follow him, but their love is imperfect. It's an imperfect love. And how does he know that this love is imperfect? God says to Catherine, it's because I see how they respond when they are deprived of the comfort that I give them in prayer. You know, that they start to panic, they get frustrated, or they may stop praying. And he says, to lift them out of their imperfect love, I take back my spiritual comfort and let them experience struggles and vexations in prayer. So in other words, God sometimes pulls back his sense of closeness because he wants us to realize that our love is not perfect. He wants to take our love to a deeper level. that our love is we genuinely love God, and that's why we pray and we, you know, spend time with him in prayer and learn about him and participate in parish life and in the sacraments. Like, we do all these things because we do love God. It's a genuine love, but it's not perfect yet. He wants to take our love to the next level. And so he withdraws our love, and then he's going to see, okay, who's willing to go to the next level in prayer? Who wants to go to a deeper friendship with me? And he sadly tells Catherine that many people will stop. They're not willing to go to that next level with God. And so they stop praying. They panic and they give up prayer. But who's willing to stay even when it's hard and difficult in prayer? Those are the ones that God has a deeper friendship with. He says in this period that I withdraw the feelings of closeness to bring them to perfect knowledge of themselves. So to grow in humility, so that they learn to take refuge in me, he says, by seeking me in true humility, seeking me alone. So when we struggle in prayer, we grow in humility. We realize, oh, I'm not good at prayer. Lord, I don't know how to do this. And I miss you, Lord, and I need you. And then what starts to happen is we come in greater contact with the desire we have for the Lord. That's why God says this crazy statement. Can I share with you this crazy statement he made to Catherine in those 3 years of quiet prayer with him? He said, Catherine, sometimes I pretend not to hear you when you pray. Sometimes I pretend not to hear you. Wow, that sounds crazy. Like, why are you playing games with me? Well, he actually says it is kind of a game. He says, I call it a lover's game. He says, I come and go, leaving in terms of feeling, but not in terms of grace. And I do this to bring them to perfection. I want to highlight that there. I leave in terms of feeling, but not in terms of grace. I think sometimes we think, okay, if I don't have the feelings, then maybe God isn't there in my life. But have you ever been, you know, in a dark room? And maybe you didn't realize someone was there, but they really were there. This actually just happened last week. Beth and I went on a date night. We came home, you know, we opened the door, and then it's dark, and we turn on the light. And as soon as we turn on the light, my teenage daughter says, ha! It just scares us. And she walks, she's just laughing. Ha, 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 got you! And Beth and I, you know, almost had a heart attack. You know, so we were in a dark room. We didn't know she was there. But she was. Before she shouted, she was there. And then suddenly we became aware of her presence. Well, God may be present to you in your darkness. You don't realize him. He's not shouting out to you like he did in those times of consolation when you were certain God is there and he's moving your heart and you're so sure of his presence. Like, those are great moments when that can happen in a spiritual life. But many times it's more like being in a dark room with someone you love. You know they're there, but you can't see them. And the one you love is really there. I just want to speak to you, any listener right now, who's been going through a period of darkness and dryness. I just want to encourage you to know that it doesn't mean God isn't there. God may be closer to you right now. That's the message of the wisdom of Catherine. God may be closer to you now than ever before. You just got to be willing to go this next step and continue to persevere with him in prayer. And you're going to come to a deeper union with him, a deeper love through this trial, through this darkness, if you persevere. So this is what God says to Catherine. Let me read it again. I come and go, leaving in terms of feeling, but not in terms of grace. That I'm there, really present to you in grace, in my life dwelling within you. I'm really there, even though you may not feel my presence. And I do this to bring the souls to perfection. I call it a lover's game. I call it a lover's game because I go away for love and I come back for love. And he says, you know, not really I, for I'm your unchanging God. What comes and goes is the feeling my charity creates in your soul. So I really do hear your prayers, he goes on to explain. I really do hear your prayers, but sometimes I pretend not to hear them. It's a lover's game. I withdraw the sense of my closeness, the feelings of my closeness, but it doesn't mean I'm not there. I'm actually closer to you now. I'm inviting you to go deeper, deeper within your own soul, to see what's really there. You see, I think about my wife, like, you know, when I go away on a trip, I miss her and I can't wait to see her. Now, when I come home from work at the end of the day, I look forward to seeing her in the normal routine on the weekends. I enjoy her presence. But man, when I'm away for a while, I go on a trip, especially like I'm on pilgrimage for several days. I really, really miss my wife. Or when she goes away, I had to watch the kids a couple weekends ago and she was away on a trip and I had to run the whole household and I missed her in many ways. And I missed her in the sense of, wow, I really appreciate, honey, all you do on the household and taking care of all the kids and driving them everywhere and, you know, and then cooking and cleaning. I mean, there's a lot that goes in. You do so much for our family. I miss her in that way, but it was more than that. It was more than that. I miss her friendship. I miss our conversation. I miss even just like watching her interact with the kids and her interacting with a friend on a phone call. I just miss her. It's not for what she does. And she does do so much for me and for the family. It's incredible. But I miss her. I miss my friendship with her and being able to live in that friendship. And I think that's what God does. That God withdraws. He goes away in a sense, or at least the feelings of his closeness, to draw our hearts out more. You know that saying, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And he wants our hearts to be fond, not just of what he does for us, his consolations, his feelings, the feelings we get of his closeness in prayer. No, he wants us, our hearts, to be fond of him and him alone. This is the wisdom God gives Catherine here, is that he sometimes pretends not to hear us, but he always hears us. He withdraws the feelings of his closeness, but he's really there in grace. And he's doing this to test our hearts, to help us be more aware of our imperfect love, that you know we panic, we complain, we're tempted to not pray because we don't feel like we get anything out of it. Like it makes us more humble. We're aware of that weakness. But then our hearts will cry out to him more. And now we're crying out, not for just consolation, but Lord, I just want you. And I become more in contact with that infinite desire. Remember, that's why I said at the beginning, what is prayer according to Catherine? It's the meeting of two desires. Our desire for God and God's desire for us. He's drawing us out, that deep desire in our soul for him. So in closing, what do we want to do? What do we do when we face these struggles? Three things. First of all, maybe examine our conscience a bit. Examine our motives. Just really take a moment and pray, Lord, why do I really come to you in prayer? And be aware of, you know, I do come to him because I love him, but I also come to him because I'm hoping to get something out of it. I like that feeling of closeness. And be aware of that and surrender that to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm sorry that I do that. I want to come for just you. And then that leads to the second point, persevere. Persevere through prayer, no matter how dark it feels, no matter how dry it feels, no matter how pointless it feels, remember the truth that you're taking time, simply making the act of the will to take time to show up for prayer every day. It is an act of charity. It's an act of love. And that matters more than any feeling I have of holiness or closeness with God. It's an act of love. Love resides in the will. And simply showing up, even when I don't feel like I get anything out of it, is an act of love. And it's good for me to believe that it really changes me. And then and to help us to persevere is the third point, is to trust. To trust that even if I am in the spiritual darkness and it's been lasting many days, many weeks, many months, maybe many years, to still trust what God told Catherine. You may not sense my closeness, but it doesn't mean I'm not there. To trust he really is there working in the depths of our soul. You know, I think it's like that fifth joyful mystery when Jesus was lost, you know, and lost in the temple. And there's times in life where we could feel like we've lost Jesus. Where is he? Where are you, Lord? But he's actually in the temple, doing the Father's will, working in the temple of our souls. He's present and doing beautiful work, even if we don't feel it. That's the message we're called to trust God, that even in those moments of darkness, Saint Faustine, another great saint, says that especially in those moments of darkness, one act of trust is more powerful, more glorious in our spiritual life than countless hours of consolation. So let's make the act of trust. Let's persevere and allow God to purify our desires so that we are in touch with our ultimate, deepest desire, which is for him and him alone. Thanks for listening, my friends. If you want to learn more about Catherine of Siena and her wisdom and her spiritual life, all the quotes I'm sharing with you are in my book on prayer called When You Pray, Trust, Surrender, and the Transformation of Your Soul. And if you're looking for a study for your men's group, your couples group, your women's group, your Bible study, you're thinking about something for the summer or thinking about something for next fall, consider the Bible study we did on prayer, on The Spiritual Life by the same name, When You Pray. We got to film at the sites of many great saints like Saint Benedict and Saint Francis of Assisi. We got to film with Saint Therese of Lisieux and today's saint, Saint Catherine of Siena, at the very site where she had those mystical encounters with God. So you can check that out at ascensionpress.com. It's called When You Pray. There's a free trailer there. You can take a look and get a sample taste of the program on The Spiritual Life. Again, called When You Pray at ascensionpress.com. Thanks and God bless.